1-866. Now, Bill Hendry.
With the growing threat of military action in Iraq, what does the frontline soldier think? What does the young man or woman who is about to be thrust into this spearhead, if you will, how do they feel about this? We're unable at this late notice to get individuals from the Army or Marine Corps, but we were able to contact a military academy here in the Los Angeles area, Belmar Academy in Altadena. We have one of their junior cadets on the line, R.C. Collins. We thank you, R.C., or Cadet Collins, for joining us.
It's my pleasure.
All right, R.C., what is it that a young man or a young woman in the military today, what are you thinking about with the war just weeks away?
Well, we're really want to serve our country the best way we know how, and we'll do what it takes. We realize that this is a war that is going to be tough, and we know that we're well supplied and we're well trained, so we certainly are going to do everything we can. We want to be able to deal with the fear, and of course that's always the tough part.
Well, when you say dealing with the fear being the tough part, isn't that a normal emotion?
It is a normal emotion, but it doesn't still help you if you're afraid of death. And so many of us have gotten together and asked if the Pentagon can assure us that we can quit the military if we feel our life is in too great a danger, then we're happy to go.
But a soldier's life is always in danger. That's what soldiers do.
Well, Mr. Henry, that's true, but me and some of the guys were talking, and this will be interesting for you to know. We realized something. President Bush is the commander-in-chief, and as such, he's the highest-ranking military member of the military. But he is in the military nonetheless. If his life is in danger, I don't see it. See, that's the thing, see? That doesn't quite add up. If he's asking me to risk my life, but he's still in Washington, sleeping in a bed and eating steak and eggs for breakfast, I don't quite see how that's risking his life. And that's why a lot of rank-and-file soldiers in the Army and the other branches of the service want a clause in our enlistment contract that says, if we feel suddenly that the risks are too great while in the combat theater, then we can tender our resignation to our nearest superior officer. And we would request that we are then evac to the nearest troop ship.
But if you're in combat and you want to be able to quit and be evac'd, as you call it, and that means evacuated?
Yes, sir.
And you want to be evac'd and you have to resign to the nearest highest ranking person, maybe that's just a corporal. I don't understand how that works.
Well, I would resign to him, yes, sir. But then he needs to find a higher rank for him to resign to him.
If you're in the middle of combat, this is your duty. This is your role as a soldier to fight, right?
Well, Mr. Henry, let me enlighten you.
My name is Hendry.
I'm sorry?
My name is Hendry.
I'm sorry, sir. Mr. Hendry, getting shot is not a problem. I'm not afraid or scared of getting shot. I'll walk right into a submachine gun nest, and toss grenades, and I'll wipe everybody out. I'll go up on a tank and throw grenades down the hatch if I have to. Now, that's not what I'm afraid of, Mr. Hendry. What I'm afraid of is smallpox bugs and anthrax bugs and the nerve gas. And let me tell you what, that's just a little hairy for me. I mean, you know, I can see what you're saying.
Well, I mean, but that is the modern warfare.
But that's just a little hairy for me. I signed up to come back to the appreciation of my fellow citizens. I didn't sign up to come back in a body bag. You know, I want to come back with Saddam Hussein's scalp hanging from my belt. But if you're talking about nerve gas, that's a little hairy. And I'm simply saying that while I'm over there, if I get a funny feeling that I'm scared, then I can resign my enlistment to the nearest highest-ranking person and then wait in the chopper for the pilot to be finished to fly me home.
The chopper?
Now, they would have choppers available for our eventual evac.
All right, R.C., I'm talking to R.C. Collins. He's a military cadet at Bradley Military Academy. You're ready to fight for your country?
Absolutely.
You're ready to go to war in Iraq?
Yes, sir.
But you also reserve the right to quit if it gets too hairy?
Yes, sir. That's the right of any soldier. I simply want to do what President Bush gets to do, and that's not even have to wear a uniform if you don't want to. And he's in the military because he's the commander-in-the-chief.
All right, if you're in the middle of a fight and you say it gets too hairy,
yes, sir,
then you want to be able to turn to your commanding officer and say, I'm resigning, and he'll send you to the chopper.
Yes, sir. I mean, simply you'd say, sir, I'm resigning my enlistment, and he'll say, all right, evac to the chopper, and we'll send you back to the ship.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. It's a very unusual proposal by this young military cadet and others in the military that while in the war theater, if a young man, a young soldier, feels that his life is in imminent danger, he should be allowed to resign, and then he would be evacuated to the troop ship. 1-800-449-8686. I don't know how that happens, though, R.C., if you're in the middle of a major firefight. And you think the military would consider this in the middle of combat operations?
Well, if it got down to it, Mr. Henry, I can tell you that I'm very proud to say my father is William Collins. He is a very significant player in the import-export business. And if he's got to hold some people's feet to the fire, he will. You know, if
you're saying your father has influence in Washington?
Yes, sir. I mean, if he gets a hold of Colin Powell's, you know what, he'll have them squealing.
Well, all right, do you think the American people would agree with this, that they want their soldiers resigning in the field?
Well, it's not up to them. They're not over there risking their necks. I am. The American people, most of the American civilian population, with all due respect, would pee in their pants from fear if they were over there. That's why only certain individuals like me are chosen to go over there.
Okay, now here's it.
And I know what you're going to say, but let me tell you, if it gets too hairy for me, then I guarantee it's too hairy for anybody.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Only people like you can handle it. But if it gets too hairy for you, then nobody can handle it?
That's how I feel.
Well, you know, it's possible you'd have to have all of our combat troops resigning and going home. That could happen.
Then it's not worth it.
If you have all of the troops saying, this is too hairy, I'm resigning, I'm going home.
Look, World War II wasn't that tough compared to Iraq because they didn't have anthrax bugs to worry about or the smallpox either. That's why they didn't, the guys would have quit. But obviously it wasn't that bad. See? But Iraq...
All right, so they didn't resign in World War II because it wasn't as bad as what Iraq's going to be.
That's right. See, World War II, that's going to be... That'll be a walk in the park compared to what Iraq's going to be when they have anthrax bugs and everything. That's why we are asking, we're asking now, but we could demand at a future date, we want the freedom to resign if it gets too hairy. Don't get me wrong, me and my fellow cadets are ready to eat, just slit Iraqis' throats and eat our own guts, but we do want the right to leave if we want to.
You're ready to slit some Iraqis' throats and eat your own guts, but you reserve the right to resign and to be evac'd out of there if it gets too hairy.
Yes, sir, and I think, you know, by the tone of your voice, you don't understand, but I think that's reasonable.
1-800-449-8686. On the eve of a war with Iraq, this cadet and others feel that if things get a little too hairy over there, if things get a little too, as he says, life-threatening, they want some... guarantee that they can resign and leave. They want to have a chopper available so that any soldier who feels it's too dangerous can get on the chopper and be evacuated out of there. I don't know how you conduct a war that way. He says that it's not likely that he would do it unless they drop nerve gas. Then they want to be able to leave. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Should soldiers be allowed to quit in the middle of a war? 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show. Let's go to a phone call and we'll take a break. This is Joel. Go ahead, Joel.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, if that young man is on the other, if he can hear me, I'd like to slap the snot out of you. You are, you, military service requires discipline. It requires commitment.
How do you know?
Because I was in 13 years. I have values that the military instilled in me.
Was you in the war?
Let me tell you.
Was you in a war? No, you weren't.
There was. Yeah, they wouldn't let me go to war.
See, that's it. That's what I'm talking about.
Look here.
I'm talking about being in the military to be able to quit.
You little asshole, if you don't want to stay by your comrade's side, don't go. But you can't go and then just up and quit on them.
If it's going to get hairy,
don't go. You don't leave your comrades.
No, I'll go.
You don't leave them.
You don't leave them. I'm not deserting. I'm asking permission to quit.
It's desertion.
No, it's not. If I get permission,
it's gonna get too hairy for your pussy little ass. Why do you think?
Wait
why do you have
second,
to go to the first
wait a
place?
Second. Who you call a pussy? You never went to no war. I might go to Iraq.
I'd love to go to Iraq. I'd like to go right now.
Well,
but I'm 44 years old. They won't take me back.
Well, I'm gonna go over there too. But what if they start dropping anthrax? That's when I want to be able to quit.
Then we.
I don't understand. How do you quit? You're a soldier. How do you quit?
We want a guarantee from the Army, simply, Mr. Henry, that if it gets too hairy, we can say to our superior officer, please evac me back to the troop ship.
Why bother going in the first place?
Because it might not be that scary.
You don't volunteer for military service if you're afraid of... You go find some civil job.
If I get scared... And I ask them, can I go home? They'll probably say yes because father has a lot of pull.
What's your father's name? Sounds like this guy on Seinfeld.
Your father's name is probably
Art Vandelay.
No, it's William Collins, sir. My father is in the import-export business.
And you said he was going to grab Colin Powell by the short and curlies, huh?
You better believe it. You better believe it.
Well, you know what? I think Colin Powell, as a former general, as a former chairman of the Joint Chiefs, and as a very formidable soldier, would kick your father's ass right back into his limousine. What do you think of that?
Pretty brave of you on the other end of the phone to say that.
Yeah. All right, Joel, thank you. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Should soldiers be allowed to quit in the middle of combat if things get a little too hairy and if they feel their lives are in imminent danger? Some people are floating that proposition. We have young Military Academy cadet R.C. Collins on the phone who seems to agree with it. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
R.C. Collins is a cadet at a military academy north of Los Angeles, Belmar Academy. It's Bradley?
Yes, sir.
Bradley Military Academy north of Los Angeles. You are in favor of a resolution from the United States Armed Forces that would allow a soldier, if he felt his life was in imminent danger, he could quit his commission and leave the combat area and be choppered out of the area?
Yes, sir.
All right. I have to agree with a lot of people, before we get back to their phone calls, that it is impossible for an intelligent person to leave while combat is going on.
Phil, I want to say there's many soldiers, there'll be many soldiers who will stay and fight because a lot of them don't have the type of education to know when it's dangerous. I know when it's dangerous, and that's when I'll raise my hand and ask to go home because I've been the beneficiary of a good education.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here's Kurt. Kurt, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes. You have never been to war yet. You have never been across the pond to fight any kind of an enemy. All you are is sitting in a school learning how to be a cadet. If you have not been in war, then you have no right to say what you're saying. If everybody from the day this country started put up what you want to do, we wouldn't have the country we have today. I was in Vietnam. I spent a year over there. I came home with one kidney and one rib missing. And
see?
You think because it got scary, I was going to give it up and say, oh, I want to go home, Mommy. Come and get me?
Well, I think you're overreacting, sir. I think that...
I don't think so.
If you'd been able to raise your hand and say, I'd like to leave now, you'd have a kidney today and a lot of other things.
No. it's not in my vocabulary to resign or to surrender. And that's all you're doing is surrendering because it's getting too tough.
But see,
sorry,
here's the difference.
That's why you joined the military, to protect our country, not because it got a little squirrely or hairy and you want to go home to mommy. I'm sorry.
I didn't say go home to mommy, Mike.
Well, that's what you're doing.
Well,
you're coming out of the bath. You're going to take your marbles and go home because they're picking on you.
My father is very close to certain individuals in the Bush administration. He'll have them screaming, Uncle.
I don't care what he. I don't care what he does. If everybody in the military fought the same way, we wouldn't have the country we have today.
Father,
and all our military that have given their life for their country could hear you. They would come back to life and beat the daylights out of you.
Oh yeah.
And I would love to be one of them.
I'll bet you a lot of them would have said, "I wished I could have raised my hand and goed," but
no,
they didn't
because they believed in something, and that was to keep our country
RC,
free. And
RC,
that's
I
what it's all
you,
about.
RC, I want to ask you a question. There's a man that my in-laws know. He lives out in Palm Springs. His name is. His name is Mr. Page. I think his first name is Mitchell. He's a Congressional Medal of Honor winner. He won the Congressional Medal of Honor at Guadalcanal. He picked up a machine gun. He held off a Japanese a company while his men were retreating. He's alive today, and much to the great respect and gratitude of his country. Do you think he would have raised his hand and said, "May I go now?"
Yes, sir,
no.
I do. Yes, I do. Because,
no.
Well,
no.
Why, I'm sure the guy's all by himself with a machine gun with a bunch of monkeys bearing down on him, and he's going to...
What do you mean, monkeys?
You said Japanese.
We're not talking about racism here.
No.
Well, but he would have been scared.
Of course he was scared. He was probably peeing in his pants scared. But he did his job.
He had the right to turn and run with the others, and he didn't. He let them retreat, and he protected them.
Wait a second. I don't believe what you're saying, Mr. Henry. He held a machine gun, and
he went from position to position as his men lay dying and fired all the guns until he got reinforcements. Mr. Page is living in Palm Springs. He's alive today. He's a Congressional Medal of Honor winner, and he is a remarkable man. And you're telling me he would have put his hand up and said, "I want to go now." What do you think this is? Fifth grade where we can take a pee break? Just
exactly.
Go off and...
You know something? I'm not saying, see, did he have to suck nerve gas? No.
You don't know if you're going to get nerve gas yet. When you do, you'll be too late anyway.
Did that guy, Mr. Page, wear a red bandana?
No, why?
He didn't wear a red bandana.
No, he was a freaking Marine.
Because Rambo and...
Forget Rambo.
This boy needs to grow up.
You think Rambo's
going to
raise
world.
His hand and then go, hey, I'd like to leave. This is Rambo, I'd like to leave.
You know, you can laugh all you want, Mr. Henry. All I'm saying is, hey, I'm ready to eat my own guts and slit some Iraqi throat. But what if it gets hairy?
Then stand and fight and make it not hairy.
What?
Yes, that's what you do. You just fight through the fear. Thank you very much, Kurt, for your call.
You know a Congressional Medal of Honor winner?
No, I don't know him. My in-laws know him. He's a very elderly man now, but he did that. He was on Guadalcanal, he had the machine guns, and he held off the... And what do you mean, a bunch of monkeys bearing down?
Forgive me.
1-800-449-8686. R.C. Collins is a military cadet who believes today's fighting men and women have the right to resign in the field, to quit, and to get on a chopper and get out of combat if they feel their life is in danger. Sounds ridiculous to me, but there's a movement afloat. He says he's ready to fight for his country, but if it gets a little hairy, he wants the option of being able to quit. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
RC, you there?
Yes, sir.
RC Collins is with us. He's a cadet, and we're going to get back to the phone calls. You say you want the right to be able to resign or to quit if it gets too hairy.
Mr. Henry, this is going to be a very frightening war with nerve gas. I'm willing to go, and I can fight the Iraqis, but I want to just have a little ace up my sleeve in case it gets hairy or not.
Okay, listen to this. I want you to listen to this. This is Mitchell Page. This is a gentleman that my mother and father-in-law play, you know, golf with. He's an elderly gentleman, lives out in Palm Springs now. Mitchell Page.
Is this the man who won the Congressional Medal of Honor?
Yeah, listen. He was a platoon sergeant with the Marines. He was on the Solomon Islands on October 26, 1942. For extraordinary heroism and conspicuous gallantry in action above and beyond the call of duty while serving with a company of Marines in combat against enemy Japanese forces. When the enemy broke through the line directly in front of his position, Sergeant Page, commanding a machine gun section with fearless determination, continued to direct the fire of his gunners until all of his men were either killed or wounded. Alone against...
See, that's the...
Hold on for a minute. Alone against the deadly hail of Japanese shells, he fought with his gun, and when it was destroyed, took over another, moving from gun to gun, never ceasing his withering fire against the advancing hordes until reinforcements finally arrived.
Well...
Hold on, I got one more thing. Then, forming a new line, he dauntlessly and aggressively led a bayonet charge, driving the enemy back and preventing a breakthrough in our lines. His great personal valor and unyielding devotion to duty were in keeping with the highest traditions of the U.S. Naval Service. Congressional Medal of Honor. Do you think he would have quit?
See, a lot of what he did, and it's really good, and I'm not saying that it's not, a lot of what he did, they train us to do already. So,
well, I don't know what you're talking. What do you mean they train you to do? Did you hear what the man did? He led a bayonet charge after being the only guy alive with a gun until reinforcements arrived, holding off this Japanese force.
I understand that, Mr. Henry, but that's standard. That I could do that if...
The guy won a Congressional Medal of Honor. What do you mean you could do that?
I'm saying he didn't have to do nerve gas. Do you think he'd... See, he probably would have wanted to go home. But I already did a lot of what you're... I'm trying to say I did a lot of what you're saying.
What do you mean you did a lot of that? The guy did it against the Japanese in World War II. When did you do it?
No, we simulated it on the PlayStation 2. They have computer simulations. And in the computer simulations, I held off two it's a SOCOM game, which is a command game.
On a computer video game, you did what?
I held off two Japanese divisions with a bayonet.
Oh, baloney. Your game's screwy. Two divisions, huh?
Or, I mean, I'm sorry, two squads. But
a squad? Do you know that a squad is about 16 guys? You know what a division is? It's thousands. Which was it, a squad or a division?
I don't recall, but...
And it ain't the same thing as being on a video game. This guy did it for real. 1-800-449-8686. Bob, go ahead. Go ahead, Bob.
Okay, how are you?
Yes, fine,
see,
sir.
I got one question to ask you. Now, I have experience being in combat. But my point is this. Suppose you were with a group of five guys, and you are on my right flank, and I'm on your left flank with a group of another five guys.
What do you mean by flank?
Well, on one side of the lawn, on let's say 100 yards apart, I'm to the left of you, and you're on my right side, okay? And your job is to cover that whole right side, and my job is to cover the left side. And then we meet in the middle at one point, because the enemy is in front of us. My point is this. Suppose I wanted to, four of my guys out of the five wanted to stop what they're doing because of your resolution that you want to see enacted. That means your whole left side is now not protected, so you can get hit by the enemy because I didn't want to move on forward.
Well, but are you the superior officer?
That's not my point.
Because
my
you
point
can't
is
quit.
This.
You can't
if you're
quit.
Dependent, listen to me, RC. If you're dependent upon other guys because you want to fight now, you're not one of these guys that want to stop. You want to do your job and continue on. If you're dependent upon someone else to watch your right flank because you got to do a job and not worry about it, and if they decide not to do it because they got scared or for whatever reason it got too hot, that means you're left out, you're exposed, you're
alone. But then
alone,
you could get another guy.
You're going to get killed.
You could get
right.
another guy to go over there.
What if he quits?
Then
but
you
the
get
point
it.
Is, you're already in the action.
That's what
and
they call
and
reinforcement.
Excuse me.
That's
and
what
it's
they call
going to happen. You have to depend upon others to survive.
Hey, Bob, this is Bob.
Effort out
Bob, this is Phil Henry. You're a veteran?
Yes, I am.
Okay, I want to bring another vet on the line. I've got a gentleman, Lloyd.
Yes, sir.
Lloyd, where were you in combat?
Yes, sir. I was with the United States Navy at Chosin Reservoir, sir, Korean Theater. We pulled the Marines out of there. It was a hell of a fight. But I called up because I want to talk to this young man.
Well, you know, I have another veteran on the line. This is Bob. Bob, say hello to Lloyd.
Hi, Lloyd.
Your name is Bob?
Bob.
Yes, sir. How are you, sir?
Good.
Now, Bob's a vet.
Well, I want to talk to this kid because I'll tell you something, son. If you ever got into combat with me, I wouldn't be as polite as some of these people. I'd tie you know what I'd do? I'd take the strap from my rifle and I'd twist it around your neck. And then I'd just pull you along, until you died.
Jesus, what an asshole.
Oh, I'm an asshole. You a desert? Is he allowed to call?
Let's watch the language, okay?
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Lloyd, Lloyd, you have to understand one thing.
Yes, sir.
If he wanted to do what he wanted to do, when
I wouldn't let him do it.
One thing.
You
when
know what I'd let him do?
Everyone is scared.
You know
okay?
what I...
You worry about anthrax and biological weapons.
I worry about
booby traps and ambushes. So it's all the same thing. You can be killed.
Hey, Bob,
Let me finish.
I'd take my sidearm out and I'd blow his brains out.
That's not the point. The thing he doesn't understand is, and you agree
with
me,
you guys are wacky.
When you're scared, RC, listen up. When you're scared, you're scared. You get to the point where you're so scared where you don't worry about it anymore and you end up saving your own life.
Okay, can I ask a question? I'm hypoglycemic, which means I have blood sugar problems. What do I do if I get faint or dizzy? What are you talking about?
You wouldn't be in combat because you wouldn't be physically prepared for it.
You know, I'd tell you what I'd do if you fainted. I'd kick you until you got up.
If you had a blood sugar level or a handicap of some sort, allergies,
they wouldn't let you in combat.
You'd be in a combat position.
Let me tell you
something. You'd be in administration.
Let me tell you what I'd do. I'd tie a rope around your genitals and I'd drag you to Baghdad with me. You wouldn't have a chance to leave. You think you're so tough. You, I tell you, and another thing that I would do, I'd take my boot and I'd drive it right through your head till the brains come out the back. You make me sick.
That's not the answer to the riddle we're talking about here, Lloyd.
What if it gets darker? I drop my glasses. I'd bend you over and Vaseline your rear end.
Okay, Jesus, you guys.
No, this is the kind of thing that I think our country, weakens our country in the face of what we're going up against here, Phil, the next few weeks.
Go ahead, Bob.
All right, my point is this. First of all, the technology that our servicemen have today aren't going to go through what Lloyd or I went through, because we didn't have the smart bombs and all that. You know, and everything was a circle where I was. As a Vietnam vet, you didn't have a front line. It was a circle. Outside the circle was no man's land. Inside the circle was your own little haven. The point I'm trying to get at with RC
is no men over there.
You're going to have your technology in the warfare in Iraq is going to be so more protected than most of us could ever dream about.
That's right. That's right. You guys are going to have all kinds of gear. You've got all kinds of medical assistance that the guys didn't have in Vietnam.
Your biggest enemy out there, it's not going to be Iraq. It's going to be by a misfired gun, by our own weapons, by accident.
Bob,
there's
more
casualties in today's war by our own fire than by the enemy's fire.
I don't know about that. Well, you listen to the man because he's got experience, you turd. You've got a filthy...
Okay, hold on. I want to bring Beverly on. Hi, Beverly, you there?
Yeah.
And you're the daughter you have a daughter in the Army.
Yes, I do, sir.
Okay, this would be a very good thing for you to listen to, RC.
Well, with all due respect, she's got a daughter?
Yeah.
Well, her daughter will probably only be typing or something. Will you listen to this little piece of garbage?
I don't think so.
Hey, Bill, I'm going to let you go. Okay?
All right, Bob, thanks a lot.
I'll listen on the radio, but thanks for the time.
God bless you, Bob.
All right.
Take care, Lloyd.
Yeah. Well, did you hang up on the lady?
No, she's here.
No,
go ahead, Beverly.
I'm here. I just want to make my point because I've been listening to this program, and I'm just appalled at this kid.
What?
And what kind of kid is this?
I want to be able to go home if it's scary. What a pussy.
Listen, young man, listen to me. If you are afraid to be in the military, then I suggest you get out now.
I'm not afraid. I don't mind going over and I'll eat my own guts. But what if I'm trapped and surrounded? What if you're trapped and surrounded? Then you do the best you can till reinforcements arrive, you little piece of walking excrement.
You act like you are the only one going over there or something, and you're not.
Well,
if my daughter goes over, do you think she'd raise her hand and say, oh, I'm afraid I want to go home?
Maybe.
What kind of person does this? And
ma'am,
another thing.
If I got stuck in a foxhole with your daughter... Well,
my daughter would protect you with her life, mister. And
what if we became romantically involved?
Yeah,
what are you talking about, you idiot? You're in the middle of a freaking war.
That's right. Well, your brain
you know something, son? You are a butt log with legs.
What?
I guess
it's unbelievable. It's really... You know what, Beverly? Your daughter is in what, the Army?
Yes, she is.
And where's she stationed?
She's a sergeant, and she's at Fort Carson, Colorado.
Oh, she may hear us. We're on in Denver, Colorado, and in places in Colorado. What's her name? Beverly? No, your daughter's name is what?
Wendy.
Wendy?
Hey, Wendy, I'm R.C. Semper Fi. What? You're not a Marine, you little walking load.
Anyway, this kid, and another thing I just want to say.
Yes, ma'am.
How dare you insult Colin Powell? How dare you do this? And you're just a cadet, and you're talking to this man about this man like that? If I was Colin Powell, kid, you'd be on your way out now.
Wait a minute. His name's Colin, not Colin. Colin's what you push
Colin.
Your load through.
But you'd be on your way out.
Oh, man.
Because you're very...
Would your daughter go see Lord of the Rings with me? Are you making fun of this woman? I'm sorry? Are you making fun of this lady? Because I'll tell you something, son. This woman gave birth to a young lady who is serving her country. And, Beverly, my name is Lloyd, by the way. Forgive me for not introducing myself.
Yes,
I was in the Korean conflict. I've been out in California now 40 years. Where are you living?
I live in Vermont.
Oh, really? Where? I was in Vermont once skiing. It's lovely there.
I live in a small town called Georgia, about 28 miles from Burlington.
You guys know that Colin Powell comes from Uranus? All right, I'm going to kill this piece of garbage. Where do you live?
All right, okay. Beverly, you're very kind to call us and to give us that piece of personal insight.
I just want to...
Yeah.
Beverly, are you married? And I don't mean to be forward. I really...
Yes, I am.
Oh, you
My
are?
My husband's
right.
a...
Well,
my
so am I. Is... So am I, but I didn't think it mattered.
Okay.
My husband's a firefighter, and I am too.
He does what?
He's a firefighter.
I'll bet he is.
And...
He's a firefighter, really, in the...
Oh, yeah, okay.
He's a fireman. And I am too.
Yeah.
But I just want this kid to know my daughter may be going over there,
she
too.
She got a big hose?
And...
All right, you little punk. You dirty punk.
And I just hope people call and call. And
yeah.
Just... Put this kid in his place.
Nah, we're going to be fine. We're going to be fine. Our country's in good hands, Beverly. Thank you very much for your call.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Has he got a big hose, huh? Yeah, I said that. Too bad you can't come up with a funny line like that. Boy, if I was in the same room with you. Yeah, you'd probably want to make love to me, you perv. You dirty little... Where is he, Mr. Hendry?
I'm not going to tell you.
Oh, I want to kill him. Ha, 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 ha.
All right, well, I'll let you guys work it out. Okay, so there you go. Thank God that's just RC, because our guys aren't going to be quitting out there. What's that?
I bet this old guy's got gray ball hair.